O God, take our lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and fill them with love for you. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. There is so much in our gospel today that can alarm us. Jesus tells his disciples that he must undergo suffering, rejection, and death. Must. There is no other option. And then there is Peter, who thinks there must be another way, and this really cannot happen. A human response to a divine plan that we do not yet understand. Which prompts the question, does the divine God, our Father in heaven, want suffering? That doesn't seem to make any sense. Lastly, Jesus says, anyone who wants to become a follower of me must deny themselves, take up their cross, and lose their life for the sake of the gospel so that they might find their true life. Three times in Mark's gospel, Jesus announces his passion to his disciples. And all three times, the disciples do not understand its meaning and are too afraid to ask. They also seem to have their mind very much set on human things. After the second passion announcement, the disciples get into an argument about who is the greatest. After the third announcement, James and John ask to sit at the right and left of Jesus in his glory. I can understand why the disciples would rather focus on Jesus' miraculous achievements, his inspirational teachings, his ability to call crowds of followers. A successful Jesus is a lot more exciting to follow than a suffering, rejected Jesus. Like the disciples, we can struggle to see how suffering fits in both to the story of Jesus and to our own lives. It is important to acknowledge that there has been a vast diversity in theological reflection on this passage. I do not think it is a coincidence that our gospel writer Mark frames these three passion announcements with two stories about blindness. I think Mark is highlighting the reality that misperception, blindness, misunderstanding about Jesus' suffering is common. It is as if we must look and look again so that we can gradually transform our human sight into divine vision. Today I want to look again at Jesus' suffering and the command to deny oneself and pick up one's cross. Jesus dies an atrocious death. Crucifixion was one of the worst forms of torture in the ancient world, and for the Jews, a sign of God's rejection. As Christians, we view the cross not as a failure or a condemnation, but as an instrument of our salvation. So it is not surprising that people have always found it hard to understand how such a horrible event could have such positive consequences. It is hard to see how the divine plan works. Our main problem is that the cross has been bound up in a misunderstanding that needs to be brought clearly to light. This misunderstanding is that Jesus' suffering has salvific value. In other words, God the Father required this suffering, that God sent his Son to the cross, and that God is complicit in the violence done to Jesus. This misunderstanding, still common today, has had a devastating effect and has resulted in many people being unable to believe in God. We need to repeat over and over again that suffering has no value in God's eyes. God, the source of life, wants fullness of life for all. So where does this misunderstanding come from? It comes from a superficial reading of the Bible. It comes from a reading that ignores that Christ suffers for you. That is, Christ suffers for love. It is God's love that saves, and Christ comes to offer God's love for you, for me, for us, for all. We must see that God is love and understand the divine plan from this vantage point. If the New Testament texts seem to exalt suffering, they are in reality celebrating God's love, which goes to the point of the total gift of self, to love and to continue to love right to the very end. That is the love that led Jesus to accept incomprehensible suffering on the cross. To love faithfully to the very end is the love we know that Jesus asks his followers to have. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for those one loves. When we grasp that Jesus suffers, is rejected, and put to death for us, so that we might know that God loves us, even in our sinfulness, we begin to see what the cross means. It was not the suffering of Christ as such that saved us, but the love that Jesus communicated by the means of the cross. The cross becomes the symbol that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we see the cross in this light, we see the divine plan, a plan for love that cannot be intimidated by violence or conquered by death. A divine plan for love in which Christ gives of himself without holding back. A divine plan for love that says to those who want to follow Christ, give of yourself too. When St. Paul writes that he shares in the sufferings of Christ, it is because he has understood that to walk in Christ's footsteps is to give yourself in love for others without holding anything back. To do that requires us to let go of the human things that we hold on to in our lives that prevent us from giving our life for others. For me, the real challenge here is to let go of our unhealthy love of self, to let go of our fantasies, our selfish desires, our plans for fame, power, or riches. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life, Jesus asks. A love of these human things blinds us to how God's self-emptying love works. There is no doubt that self-emptying or self-denial is hard. And we know that self-emptying will involve a process of suffering of the death of selfishness and self-desire. But if we understand these sufferings not as a punishment, but rather as a movement from human to divine, from blindness to sight, from a love of self to an encounter with God, who is love. We see the commandment to take up our cross as a joy and a promise beyond measure. Amen.